Thank you, Mr. Filner. Ladies and gentlemen, your servant's succession to the presidency of this society puts him in mind of the enthronement of his favorite pope, Sixtus V. Sixtus was a contemporary of Elizabeth I of England. At that time, three leading cardinals were candidates for the papacy, just before the election of Sixtus. All very powerful. The conclave was unable to obtain a majority for any one of the three. It was therefore determined that they should choose an interim pope who would be given to his father soon, after which they might select one of the three powerful cardinals. They therefore hit upon a rather obscure ecclesiastic who was generally believed to be over 90 years of age, in poor health, had been immured for some years in a monastery, and was generally thought to be imbecile. He was an ideal candidate for the post. Accordingly, he was promptly elected by the conclave. But to the surprise of the other cardinals, he joined in the Te Deum with unusual power of lung. He then announced that he was a decade younger than was generally supposed, in full possession of his powers, and had large plans for the reform of the papacy. he was, in fact, a very successful pope. He was an astute diplomat, a man of shrewd intelligence and austere character. We owe many of the present works of art and architecture in Rome to his patronage. He paid the artists the most parsimonious fees imaginable. You will find his portrait, of course, in the Vatican Gallery, the portrait of what appears to be a very hard, bad-tempered old man. Such indeed he was. He was proud of it. And he assisted the artist paint him as he was. And there we see him, very ugly old creature, incorruptible. His first necessity was to secure the passage of pilgrims to Rome. Italy in the 16th century was very like Italy in the 20th century. That is, the roads were beset by terrorists and bandits. Accordingly, Sixtus's first act was to appoint judges in the Papal States of great severity of countenance and greater severity of conviction. They proceeded to, under the instructions of the Pope, to line the roads approaching Rome with stakes on which were affixed the heads of bandits to the number of several thousand. The flow of pilgrims greatly increased, and so did the revenues of the Papal States for the revival of traffic along the roads. Sixtus himself was, in fact, the chief justice of the Papal States, and to him came all appeals from sentences of his severe judges. He received these with high dignity. On one occasion, there was appealed to him the case of a young man of 16 years old convicted of hideous murders, had been sentenced to death to beheaded by beheading. The relatives made an appeal to Sixtus on the ground of the extreme youth of this young person, might he not be spared because he had not yet arrived at years of discretion. The Pope received this petition with ceremony and said, "Ah, unfortunate young man, so young in years and yet so old in sin. What shall we do with such a person? What can we do to alleviate his lot? It's true he is very young to be executed in this fashion. I know. I have a great many more years than I need myself. By decree, I shall confer 10 of my years upon him, and then he'll be quite old enough to be beheaded." And so, another interesting case was appealed to him. In this case, the offender, who committed a number of hideous crimes, was a man of high rank, noble birth. And the appeal was made to the Pope on the grounds of the family, the great family to which this young man belonged. The Pope said, "I am myself a base churl of most low degree, obscure lineage. Nevertheless, I have the highest respect for ancient family and rank. And therefore, out of respect for the family and the dignity of this person, I shall attend in person his execution." Now, I trust that under my presidency of the Philadelphia Society, these policies of His Holiness will be followed by the Society with the utmost zeal, that the heads roll where they may.